Welcome to the Huntington Disease edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the HD community.
Hello, and welcome to the Rare Care Podcast. This is your host, Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're at the 2025 World Orphan Drug Congress in Boston, talking today with Lauren Holder of Help for HD, a nonprofit organization that advocates, educates, and brings awareness for people with Huntington disease. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Lauren, tell us a little bit about yourself and your organization, please.
I am gene positive for Huntington's disease. I am actually in what's called the prodromal stage of HD. I have behavioral and cognitive symptoms, but I don't have any movements yet. And I was a caregiver for my father, and I also produce and host my own podcast, Help for HD Live.
Can you tell us a bit about your patient experience, and particularly as a caregiver for your father?
Yeah, I mean, it was difficult. When you know that you're going to develop the disease that you're taking care of your loved one for, it's a whole other level of anticipatory grief. But I also felt honored to be his caregiver and to make sure that he had the best quality of life possible. And I think I gave him that. He passed away in January of 2021. And so we went through the pandemic was his worst year.
I have a question before we get into the disease itself. It's rather unusual for people from families affected by Huntington to agree to be tested. It's a relative minority from what I understand. Why did you agree to be tested?
Well, I chose to test actually 20 years ago at the age of 20, even before most people made the decision to test. And I chose because I felt that knowledge is power and that I wanted to be proactive with my health and proactive with my life. And I feel like I've done that. It really has motivated me to be a better version of myself.
Because you know the outcome in advance?
Because I know the outcome, and I feel that if I am proactive, and I mean, when I tested, I was told it was a death sentence. There was nothing for me. There was no reason for me to test. Couldn't be involved in research. And literally this year is 20 years since I tested. And I am able to participate in research. We have moved things in the community in a way that is wonderful to see for people that are just like me in this stage of life. So I don't feel like I have a death sentence. I feel like I'm not dying from HD. I'm living with HD because I'm taking control.
Laura, this is amazing. Why were you told that you could not participate in clinical research?
Because of being pre-symptomatic. For clinical trials, you have to actually have a diagnosis of HD or show symptoms. And what they consider symptoms is movements. So up until recently, people who had cognitive and behavioral symptoms but no movements could not participate in research. It's just a new thing for us to be moving into that.
At the European Huntington Association conference, which I covered several years ago, I was told that only 10 to 15% of people from families affected by the disease are actually tested, and that there are negative consequences for being tested, including those who test negative.
It's different for every person. I will never sit there and say that my decision is the right decision for somebody else. But it doesn't have to be a negative experience. That negative experience comes from a lack of resources, a lack of direction and how to navigate everything after you receive your results, a lack of support. And that's something that we still deal with, and that needs to change in the community. But we're getting there. We have seen those things start to change.
I wanted to ask about your presentation. And I have heard this before many times over and over that, you know, having Huntington is like ALS, Parkinson, and Alzheimer's. But I've also heard people don't like that description.
I really don't like that description as well. It's not one that I prefer because we are our own disease. But I find that people have a very hard time understanding what the disease is. I would say, actually, where I am in the disease, it's more like having a brain cancer. Somebody looks at me and thinks everything is normal because they look at me and they don't realize there's something going on in my head that's getting worse and worse and worse. And until that thing grows and becomes more evident, it's more similar to that.
How much awareness do you think there is among the general public about Huntington?
Not enough. I think there's more than there ever was before.
And why is that?
I think that we're starting to see it in TV shows. And we have a generation that's coming up that really is vocal about HD and we're willing to speak up, I think that makes a huge difference. And because we're providing better resources today than we were 20 years ago, that makes a huge difference as well. When you have support and resources, people are willing to talk about it. And if we stop treating the disease as if it's a death sentence and just tell people to go off and just live their lives until they get movements, and you treat it like we're going to live with this disease and treat what we can, it changes how you look at it. It's perspective.
You mentioned TV shows. Any that you can name specifically?
Yes, so that's funny that you asked that. So I actually was watching The Good Wife the other day with my husband. It was in an episode of that. And there's many. House is a very familiar one with the community that everybody remembers. There's a more recent one, Virgin River. It was in that. So it's in several different shows.
So I want to get back to your presentation. You mentioned you packed a lot into a few minutes, and you spoke about several organizations. You mentioned, of course, CPATH and your own. Within Help for HD, you produce podcasts. Can you talk about that? How many have you done, and who are your subjects?
Oh, gosh. I've done hundreds of episodes, and we've done everything from researchers. We've done, I think, every single HD organization. So International Huntington's, Huntington's Disease Youth Organization, all of them. HD Reach, Hereditary Disease Foundation, all of them. Yeah.
The youth organization, HDYO.
Yes.
I understand that you were recently in Prague. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that, would you?
It was incredible. I would have to say one of the best events I've been to. The connection there, so it's very engaging, interactive, but really just the way that the community connected on a global level, and people were motivated and really passionate about learning about how to advocate and learning about what they could do in the community to make a difference. And that's huge because a lot of them are younger.
Right.
It's a younger population. And so to see that passion and that drive is amazing.
Could you just give us a bit about your background and, you know, where you went to school? What did you study? Just family, just maybe some information so we get to know
Sure.
you a little better.
My background, I went to a Christian school growing up. I got married very young at the age of, I had just turned 19. My husband was in the Navy. We've been married for 21 years this year.
What's your background?
I did not go to college. I went into the healthcare field, and mm-hmm. I worked as an administrative assistant, executive assistant in the healthcare field.
And also you took care of your father.
I took care of my father, yeah.
So at that time, as you said, not much was known about Huntington.
Correct.
And you said that for some reason, and I'm not really sure, maybe you can explain why, you said we were not really part of the rare disease community. And we were not doing well. Why was Huntington kind of apart from other rare disease groups?
I honestly don't know. And this is a question that I asked myself a couple of years ago, was why are we not more involved on a rare disease level? And I couldn't get a really straight answer from anybody. And so that's actually when I first came to this event, because I was like, well, I think that we should be learning from other disease groups and really seeing how we can help each other and be stronger together. And that's kind of where my fascination
right.
or my passion for the rare disease space came from.
So the HD Community Advisory Board, could you talk a bit about that?
Sure. The HD Community Advisory Board is a global initiative. It's a partnership of three different organizations. So International Huntington's Association, European Huntington's Association, and the Huntington's Disease Youth Organization. And what they do is they basically get the patient perspective at a seat at the table. And we work with industry to solve solutions when it comes to clinical trials, whatever that is, whether it's trial design or issues that come up later. And we also do education for our HDCAP members to make sure that we are up to date on research.
Now, speaking of research, you mentioned that gene therapy, of course, is a hope, but it's kind of a distant hope. You're not expecting something tomorrow. You said you're not really expecting an immediate cure. You
No.
want something that's going to make your life more livable now.
Yes.
Can you elaborate on that a bit?
Absolutely. For many years, I was told, oh, the cure is 5 years away. It's 5 years away. And after 10 years goes by
yeah.
and it's not there, you kind of lose hope and it puts you in a deep place. And so when I actually received a diagnosis of neurocognitive disorder related to HD.
And when was that?
In 2022. And after I lost my job. So after that, I really had to think and kind of come to terms with where I was with the disease.
You received that diagnosis a year after your father died?
Yes.
And how did that, how does it manifest itself in your daily life? You don't have movement issues, you said.
I don't have movement issues. So mine is cognitive. It's kind of like having ADHD, I guess, would be to come on when you've never had ADHD in your life. And to deal with this executive dysfunction, symptoms, time management issues, can't organize, can't get up off the couch to do what you need to do.
You're going through all of that now?
I am. And thankfully, I found a medication to help me right now, but it gets harder. And so that's where the difference is it's not something that stays the same that you can get used to. For me, it's
progressively worse.
That's right.
What about the genetic nature of the disease? You have kids, or are you concerned about...
My daughter is negative.
She's negative. Okay. In terms of patient advocacy, what do you actually do? You mentioned legislation, you mentioned, activism, this kind of thing. How do you translate that into action?
So I actually take part in a lot of different meetings. I've done the advisory board meetings.
Yes.
I've met with FDA twice now. I speak with Critical Path Institute on a regular basis every month. And I also talk with other advocates. We have a meeting like every 2 weeks where we come together, discuss different barriers that we feel that we can address, come up with action items and help to implement. And also we have discussions with all stakeholders in the community, whether that's industry, clinicians. We try to bring all stakeholders into the conversation to make sure that we are on the right path.
One last thing, since we're almost out of time. About this current upheaval in Washington regarding FDA and NIH and research, do you have any thoughts about how that might affect the Huntington community?
Sure. I'm sure that it is going to affect the Huntington's community, but that's scary and it sucks, but that doesn't stop advocacy. We continue to do it even if it's harder.
Wonderful. On that note, we'll wrap up. But we've been speaking with Lauren Holder, who represents Help for HD. We're at the World Orphan Drug Congress in Boston. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.